in their most recent work session last week, school board members, administrators, staff, and some members of the public struggled with the best way to address the problem of alcohol, drug, and tobacco use among students and activities. Right now, the schedule of penalties lays out a certain number of days a student suspended from competing or traveling for sports, band, or other elective activities. It gets more severe for repeated offenses over a student's high school career. Board President Jean Ellis said she had a problem with the punishments being too strict because her real goal was to educate kids.
And to get them the help they need and to move them forward as much as possible. That's really my goal. It's not to punish them because I don't see that as effective. I think the new studies on brain research that they've been doing showing that, you know, they don't have a brain that reasons quite like our, it feels, but it doesn't reason. And so putting a worse punishment out there, thinking that they will think, oh, I won't do that because I'll get in trouble, they just don't seem to think like that.
Petersburg's local school boards and their administrations have dealt with this quandary again and again over the years. Problems have typically come up after the board or the administration diverged from the written rules for a specific student or students. That's basically what happened this past year after several students and activities got in trouble for drinking. Administrators say various mitigating circumstances resulted in some students receiving lighter punishments than others. That prompted criticism from the other students and their parents who questioned the fairness of the system. Since an individual student's records must be kept confidential, the board members cannot publicly explain all their decisions on a particular case. Parent Doug Fleming said one of his kids went through the process and they've talked about it a lot since.
The most striking thing is not what's on the matrix in terms of the little numbers, but it's the consistency. No, he said, Dad, either of these will be good, but no funny business. It's got to be consistent. Everyone has got to be, and one of the things that strikes me is you as the board members have certain tools that everybody doesn't understand and know, but they are tools that some people might look at and go, well, that's kind of the cloak of, you know, invisibility cloak to us. We don't see through it.
The perception of unfair treatment was also a concern for board member John Bringhurst, who was out of town but provided his thoughts in an email to the board. Among other points, Bringhurst wrote that he believed consistency was very important in order to be fair to all students. According to Bringhurst, quote, "The impression that we bent the consequences for certain students because of who they are or how much they may contribute to the school's athletic activities is detrimental to parent support and the respect the schools and the district leadership needs," unquote. At the same time, Superintendent Rob Thomason, Board President Ellis, and other board members thought it was appropriate that the school officials retain some latitude to weigh mitigating circumstances when dealing with student discipline. For instance, if a student willingly comes forward on their own and self-reports, admits to breaking the rules before they're caught.
We've got to be able to make decisions based on the facts as we know them, and that's what this policy over years came to, and that was what the board and I, we were attempting to match consequences with crimes, as it were, rightly or wrongly. I think it was rightly, frankly.
Well, and I know everyone doesn't agree with us, but I actually strongly still do, and I strongly agree with this mitigating policy for self-report. I mean, it might be true that somebody comes in later and says, oh, that kid's been doing this or that or the other thing that we don't know about, but we have to deal with what we know about.
While board members acknowledged some skepticism in the room that self-reporting is not likely to happen often, they decided to write that into the revised rules. It will be an option, along with counseling and community service, for students who want to reduce their penalty. The board members also agreed that if a student is charged with underage drinking by police, they need to notify the district promptly, and even if a student pleads not guilty in court, they would still be punished in school, at least until the case is resolved. Last year, the district backed off on disciplining a student-athlete while their court case was still pending, according to the administration. Most of the board, administrators, and staff eventually agreed that the punishment should remain more severe for students caught using on school trips. Basketball coach Rick Brock noted that the board strengthened those rules several years ago because there had been problems.
There were a couple of years, and it's been a while, but it was hard to travel. And I think the reputation of our school was hurt also, you know, because it then became, oh, here, I don't really want to house the Petersburg kids, or you know, here comes the Petersburg kids, and they had done this the last time they were in town. And that's how we got to this place. So, whether it worked or not, But I think it helped the coaches. We were asking for something with a little more teeth in it.
The school officials spent a lot of their work session trying to decide how many days a student should be suspended from interscholastic activities on a first offense. Ultimately, they went with 30 days, down from the current 44 days in regulation. However, a student caught drinking or doing drugs on a school trip would face 90 days. The penalties get substantially more severe for each subsequent violation. Students would still have the opportunity to cut their number of suspension days by as much as half if they enroll in counseling and complete 15 to 20 hours of community service and complete an educational component about substance abuse. The board also agreed to separate tobacco use from alcohol and drug policy so that tobacco use would fall under the minimum punishments required by the Alaska School Activities Association. Those start at 10 days suspension from activities for a first offense, but like alcohol and drugs, a fourth tobacco offense would still bring a permanent suspension from activities over the course of a student's high school career. The administration is drafting the revisions for final review by the school board at its next meeting. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.